You're listening to Miscarriage Stories with Arden Cartrett. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to jump on and make this super quick, but I wanted to let you know that with the holidays coming up, Cassia and I, who is a doula on my team, by the way, we have put together this incredible webinar for you. It's called Grieving Through the Holidays. It's a 17-minute webinar that you can get in video format, audio format, and you have access to a 20-page guidebook that serves as a workbook, but also has the transcript for the webinar and some extra information. It covers things like coping during the holiday season, setting goals, scripts for talking to people about miscarriage or answering their nosy questions, journal prompts, a deep dive into triggers, and so much more. You can get this for $15. It includes the audio, the video, and the guidebook. And you can access this or learn more if you'd like to by visiting the link in today's show notes. Okay, let's get into the episode.
First, I really want to thank you for this space. I'm not at all somebody who usually does anything of this. I'm not used to being recorded or anything. But I really decided I wanted to share my story because it has helped me very much to hear others' stories. So I also thank everybody else who has actually decided to share their stories, because although each story is very unique, there are things that I do feel for a lot in my story as well. So no, I really, really want to thank you for that first. My story, first of all, I'm from Chile, so South America, and I'm 32 years old. I have been married for almost 4 years, and to be honest, we weren't expecting to have a baby at all. It wasn't in our plans, but at the same time, I had stopped using like proper birth control for a year already, but we were still like using more natural methods and everything, but we knew that it wasn't 100% secure. So, and we had decided if we got pregnant, we would have the baby and that's it. The thing is, it hadn't happened, and in a way it's easier said than done. But the thing is, at some point my period was 5 days late. I was feeling some differences in my body, like a lower back pain, and you know, my breasts were a bit swollen. And so I told my partner, my husband, that I wanted to have a test made, and he kind of like pushed aside the idea. But we actually had a wedding the night before. I didn't have any alcohol because I was sure I was pregnant, like I knew it. And so the next day I asked him like to go buy a few
pregnancy tests.
Exact pregnancy test. And so he went to buy one, and I peed on it, and I was pregnant. And so at first I was like in shock, but still I knew it in a way. And I think he was very much in shock, and he was like, but maybe this isn't true. Well, I'm going to go buy a few more. And he actually just left and went to buy a few more. And when he came back, he actually said like, you know what, this is great. I'm ready. You know, we're going to be parents. Great. And I was like, okay, I'm still going to try these other two ones. And one of them came out negative and the other one came out positive. And it was like the ones that says like you're more than 4 weeks pregnant. So it's like, okay, wow, shock. Like we hugged, and I think we just couldn't really finish believing it. And actually we had a dinner that night. We're like, yeah, let's go anyway. And we went, and it was nice. And we had decided not to tell anybody. And I was actually like, it was very weird at the beginning. And that night I actually got very anxious. I was saying, wait, we're going to have a baby. And we had so many plans. We were planning on traveling in April. We were traveling, planning on, I don't know. I was like getting things like getting new plans at work. And my partner had just like kind of moved up in his job, and he had tons of work. And I was like, where does this fit in our life? We'd have to probably change houses. So I just started freaking out at that night. And from then on, for a few weeks, I'd say, our emotions were very much in both of our cases, a lot of illusion, a lot of us imagining how it would be with this baby, but also a lot of fear on my side, like what's going to happen with my life? I had projects for myself. Am I going to forget myself? Also, we live in a very traditional setting, I'd say, and women are very much in charge of the children. Not saying that it's our case at all, but these are fears that come from, like, you know, historical, you know, transgenerational things. What is it going to be like for me? On his side, he was very scared something would actually happen to the child, like after birth. And, you know, he said, like, I know when people lose babies and children, and, you know, it really just, you know, it messes it all up, and we won't be able to be happy again. And so in that sense, he was like, this is just too scary, you know, the responsibility. So it was 2 weeks of that on and off, and, you know, happiness and fear and happiness and fear. And anyway, the thing is, 2 weeks after, so around the 16th August, we had our first scan echography, and it was just like on my stomach. It wasn't with a transvaginal one. And it was incredible because we could see I was 8 weeks pregnant, and you could see the little baby, and you could hear the heartbeat and see the heartbeat as well. And it was just incredible. And I freaked out then as well, because I was like, I can't believe I'm super thin. I was like, how is my body actually gonna manage to actually, like, grow with this baby? And it was just incredible. And my partner as well said, like, I'm like, right now there is no fear, I'm just pure happiness. And I'd say that we had 2 weeks there of pure happiness, where we were thinking of names, especially me, because I was saying, like, if it's a boy, this, if it's a girl, this. Because I think my partner was still kind of fearful about, like, what if something happens? But to be honest, he had never thought of a miscarriage. I mean, he was thinking, like, I still don't want to get attached to, you know, until it's there. And so 2 weeks after that, we had already decided what, like, doctor we wanted to accompany us, what nurse as well, like the doula that we wanted to accompany us. And we had an appointment for the 30th of August. And we went, and we were actually nervous we might not like the doctor because we didn't know him. So, like, oh yeah, this is nervous. And we didn't think he was going to make have us get another echography or scan, as we had just had one 2 weeks before. But he said, no, let's have one. Let's get one done anyway. And he just used, like, one, like, with a small computer in his office. And this time he wanted to have the transvaginal one, and I was super freaked out because I had never had one of those done. But I said okay, and we were speaking, and it was like, oh, okay. And then the image starts coming out, and like, we start looking, and like, Tom, like, my partner holds my hand, it's like, this doesn't look like what we saw the other day. And I said, like, what's the matter? And then the doctor said, well, but I've, a lot of doctors have said, I'm very sorry, there's no heartbeat. And then, well, I like, my partner just, like, covered his mouth in, like, complete shock. He never thought this would happen to us. And I just started crying, like, very deeply, like, from very, very deep inside of me. And plus, this doctor was still, like, with the wand inside of me, and I just really wanted him to get it out. And he was saying, like, no, just wait. And I was like, what else do we have to wait for? I just want to, you know, get my clothes on. And of course, I didn't say all this, but I was thinking it, and I was just crying. And then, well, I got, I went into the bathroom, got my clothes on, was crying very deeply. Like, I don't know how to explain. It's just very deep sadness. And he said, let's still get another, like, proper look. And they took me to this other place, and it was very uncomfortable because I had actually gone in there super happy, and I had to, like, go out, and there were other pregnant women, like, moving all around, like, you know, to their doctor's appointment. And there was this nurse who was very smiley, like, calling me, like, come this way. And I was thinking, why can she smile? I mean, and because she already knew that I was going for a scan with them, like, because of a miscarriage. I was like, why is she smiling? She shouldn't smile. And another wand, and this time I decided not to look because I just didn't want, I wanted to keep in mind that other image I had in my mind from 2 weeks before. And yeah, again, he confirmed no heartbeat. And this doctor told me that he recommended for us to get the, I think you call it the DNC, like the procedure. Yeah. He recommended for us to get the DNC procedure because we don't live near, like it takes us a while to get to a clinic. So he said, if you happen to have any kind of problem, it's a long way to go. So I'd recommend this. And he's like, you might end up being traumatized. And I was thinking like, yeah, okay, let's just do that. What do I have to do? I just couldn't really like think at that point. And anyway, he said like, okay, we're going to look for an appointment. We'll check out what we can do. And we just left that place and we just went for a coffee and kind of spoke a little bit. Then my partner went to work and I went home and I actually met up with a friend. We had decided not to tell anybody until we were 3 months pregnant. I had just told two friends and one of my friends, like we were going to meet for dinner. And I told her right away, I had a missed miscarriage. And cause yeah, I was actually 10 weeks pregnant then, but actually I had the baby was 8 weeks pregnant when, and the thing is, I had dinner with her, because like my husband had something else and we decided like, I really want to meet this friend and speak about this. Cause I knew she would understand, you know, and she came with a big bag of like chocolate and I really was very thankful. And the next morning, well, my partner had told his sister as well, who had had a miscarriage before, and she was super nice and she recommended her doctor. So we went to see her doctor the next morning, which was a woman, and she was incredible because she really said, she said like, there are two options. So the DNC, and I recommend, you know, to do it the natural way, you know, the body is intelligent and you know we'll go through, and so go home, think of it, you know, and send me a WhatsApp when you've decided. So I went home and I decided to get the DNC done just because my husband had to travel for work 2 weeks after the miscarriage or 3 weeks after, and she said that this could take up to a month to actually happen, and I just couldn't be alone because my parents were traveling, and they didn't even know I was pregnant. They were traveling. My parents-in-law were traveling. My brother and sister weren't here, so I was really alone. So I just wanted to get it done with as soon as possible, as for him to be with me. And so we had it scheduled for the 1st of September, and I got a DNC then the 1st of September. And I have to say, it was I was very, very sad, and I feel like it went like, I wasn't really realizing what this was all about until it was actually happening. Because it's been just very much of a roller coaster. Because before I was surprised to be pregnant, then I was afraid to be pregnant, then I was happy to be pregnant. And all of a sudden, I hardly even knew what DNCs were. So I was just very confused. And I was very happy that I had this little ritual with a small candle. That my sister actually, because I did tell my sister after, well, she's abroad, but I told her anyway. And she told me like, I read online just like after you told me about like rituals, and luckily she did because I wouldn't have thought of it, I think. And it was really beautiful because actually like in the hospital, when I was in the hospital, like they first gave me something like in my mouth and then they had to put something in me like from like vaginally. And that made me very sad because it was like me accepting I was letting go, and it would make me just very, very sad. And right after that, I decided, like I told my partner, I'm going to turn off the light, you know, have a little candle thing. And I really feel like it was my moment with the baby and not really his, like he just hugged me from behind. And while I actually just thought and spoke to my baby inside of me. And yeah, that whole night I bled a lot. I decided I didn't want to get any like morphine or anything because I did want to feel something, you know, I didn't want it to just be a before and after without living anything or feeling anything between. And that morning I had the procedure done and it went okay. And it all went fine. And I bled for like 2 weeks. 10 days after the procedure, I actually went to see the doctor again, and she told me like for a checkup, and I went with my partner, and actually she asked me how I was, and I just break down crying saying it was being hard. And that I couldn't believe I was so sad. I never expected I'd be that sad. My partner was about to leave, and she actually told me that she recommended for me to take an antidepressant. And I had never taken anything at all, and I'm not very much medicine, but I thought I was going to need it. I was already like having therapy sessions with a psychologist from before, and she was great. She had also had a few miscarriages, so she was very understanding. But I thought I actually needed this extra help because I wasn't being able to function at all at work or anywhere. And I was having tons of emotions, and I was just very lacking a purpose to get up every morning. She recommended for me to take these medicaments for like 3 months. So that's what I'm on right now. And that's kind of it. Then I got my first period, and it's been really weird because I went back on birth control because I don't want this to like happen again, that like I'm surprised with the pregnancy, and I want to be prepared for it the next time. And it's been very weird because I bleed in between, because of course my hormonally I'm still kind of a mess, and it hasn't been 2 months yet. So it's been really, in that sense, very crazy. And I think to sum up what it's been like, I've learned so much, first of all. And I want to say I admire women so much more today than I did before. And before, I think I already admired them a lot. But I think it's incredible what we go through. I'm surprised with how supportive women can be. I mean, my sister is 25, not near having children, and still she connected so well to my emotion, and she felt for me, and she said the right words. Of course, it's not everybody's case, but she said the right words. And you know, my friends who have cried with me have been very, very connected. And I feel like this new sisterhood, and even listening to the podcast, it's like incredible how important it is to have this. So that is one thing, and it's something I want to hold on to and like want to consciously value further. The second thing is what I've said before, it's like how much it actually hurts emotionally. Like I thought it wasn't going to be that hard for me, having in mind that it wasn't something I was expecting. I wasn't waiting for a baby. And although I don't cry every day anymore, I'm sometimes very sad, very, very sad. And it's been very, very sad. And I still have issues with, like, I had tons of plans, and I was like, I don't want all of this. And at the same time, I don't want a rainbow baby either now, because like I feel like we have to work through things as well. So it's weird. And the last thing, which is I think the hardest part, because there's the grief for the baby, but there's also, and I think a few others said a bit about this in their moments, is how alone it is. Because okay, there are the people that say that at least, and then there are the people who also say like, oh, but this is great because it means you can get pregnant. And in a way I say, like, first of all, that's not the issue now. I'm grieving this baby, not another. Right. You know, I'm grieving this baby. Second of all, we don't even know, but anyway, that is like, we don't even know what that can finish in, whatever. And also, partner wise, I feel like in my case, it has been hard because I think I had the image of, like, you know, when we decide to have a baby, it's both our babies. And I kind of realized that although the baby is mine and the other person's, it's still very much mostly mine, at least at the very beginning, because it's also very much mostly mine. I mean, it's me who's bleeding after, it's me who has, you know, this whole hormonal issue, it's me who has to, you know. So it has been lonely. So I feel I've also lived like a process of grieving this partnership, where I felt like we were very much in the same moment, but it's true, he grieves differently from the way I do. He's into work 100%, and that's also his coping mechanism, but it's very, very different. And you know, this idea of one saying like, yeah, we are pregnant, and then she had a miscarriage. It's something I felt very much, not that he said it at all, but it's something very that you feel, you know, I'm the one having a miscarriage finally. So I think it has taught me also, you know, to accept that this is, you know, big for us, especially as women. At least that's what I've felt, and which is why I also value us much more. So yeah, that sums it up, I think.
I so relate to a lot of things that you said. One that I feel like my journey with miscarriage and my infertility journey, it made me definitely respect women more. I think it made me more of a feminist. Like, I don't think I considered myself like as into feminism as I was beforehand. And it's just shown me like a different light of what women go through, and the way that society like sees us, and the way that things actually are, and the way that we're either supported or we're not. Right. And then I also, I've said it in a couple of podcast episodes, either here or on other people's podcasts, but like, I went into having kids thinking, well, this is what you do next. I didn't realize I had an option not to do it. I never felt like a maternal person. I was born into a really dysfunctional family of parents that probably should have never had kids, but they did. And I never really had that desire to be a mom. I just thought it was what I do next. And then after my first pregnancy ended, I was like, no, now this is all I can think about. And it kind of changed the way I saw my life a little bit more, or it made me realize what I wanted in life. And so I found that to be really interesting, because you said how you were afraid at first and you had all these fears. And I would actually have nightmares about being pregnant while I was trying to conceive. I was terrified because it just wasn't something that felt like it came natural to me. So I relate on so many levels to your story, even though we got there differently, I still related so heavily.
Yeah, that is incredible what you're saying, because it's exactly what I felt. It's somehow the other day with my therapist, we were speaking, and she said at some point, like, somebody was asking me for help with something emotional, very emotional, and I said, like, I couldn't. I'm usually a very helpful person. I like doing this. And she actually said something like, your I don't even know how to say this in English. Your uterus is still uterus is still healing. Yeah. You know? So it's like, so even mentally, like, it's still healing. You can't mother anybody else right now. You're not available. And that's when I said, like, it's crazy, because I did not think of my uterus in my day-to-day life. And now today, when I think of it, like, it's not an organ anymore, just another organ in my body. I had someone living in for a while, and it's, I feel completely different. It's a before and after. And it's really true what you say. Like, now, before I was like, I don't know if I want to be a mother or not. And I feel like I already mothered someone. I already didn't stop drinking alcohol. I stopped climbing because I was afraid. I, you know, all the things I usually did, like, I already kind of mothered for a while.
Yeah.
And now with how much I loved this baby and how much we were connected, and I say, like, this is the most incredible thing in life. Mm-hmm. How do I not want to? So I still, of course, I think I want to go slow, but I want to heal, and it's been too much for a roller coaster, but I do understand what you're saying about, like, it is something I can't stop thinking about when I never had thought of it much before.
Yeah. It's interesting thinking about it from, like, thinking about your uterus. I don't think I paid my uterus a single thought in a day before I ever got pregnant or wanted to be pregnant. And now I literally think about my uterus all the time. And that's so, you know, that's only something that some of the population can relate to. And I think, like you're saying, it makes you respect women differently. I think that that's something that we realize bonds us, is our reproductive health in a way. Like, it really, it bonds us whenever we learn more about it, whenever we go through struggles. And I'm very thankful that you shared your story, and I think you might be the first guest from South America. So that is
woohoo. Yes. You know, I actually found you because I was looking for a place where, because as we hadn't told anybody, and we still don't really want to tell people because we're kind of afraid of like what, because I did tell one person who I actually wish I hadn't told, because I didn't feel like it, they responded how I wish they could. So I prefer just keeping it where we have it right now. But I did need to hear about this. It's something that was happening. It didn't just, you know, I'm not bleeding anymore, but it's still in my mind. So it's very important. So I looked in different places, and in Spanish, I couldn't find anything much at all, actually. And I found yours. I'm really, really thankful because, yeah, it's needed worldwide.
Yeah, and I'm trying to like quickly see if I can find, I know that there's a Spanish doula. I don't know where she's located, but she'll sometimes share my posts and translate them.
Oh, wow.
But her handle is in Spanish. And so I cannot for the life of me remember, but I know that she exists and is out there. So whenever I find it, I'll have to put it in the show notes for this episode in case anybody's looking.
Okay, great.
But yeah. And we also have on my team, we have Jay who speaks Spanish. So if there's ever anything needed to translate, I'm more than happy to have her do that. I think that would be great. Because I try to make it to where it's also easy for like our phones to translate, but it's hard to do from another country. Like it's hard to just update those settings. But that's amazing that you found this and that you found it to be helpful, even though it's not in your first language. I think that that's really amazing too.
Yeah. No, 100%. Very helpful for sure.